It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Romans. And the book of Romans, we're in the third chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 4 of chapter 3 of the book of Romans. So I hope that you have the opportunity to open your Bibles to that scripture verse so that you can follow along as we read the scripture, and then as we enjoy the fellowship and the study of that scripture. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to visit our website, that's at parkviewbiblechurch.org. parkviewbiblechurch.org. If you'd like to send us an email, that's parkviewbible@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Once again, Romans chapter 3, beginning to read with verse 4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, thou that mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner, and not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just? What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of their way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit, and the poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We're going to end with that 20th verse, and please that we just will go to the Lord in prayer and start this study. And it's just wonderful to be able to open up the Word and enjoy it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today. I just thank and praise you for all the opportunities you give us to proclaim the Word. I thank you for your Word that we may enjoy it and study it. And help us, Father, never to forget that if we choose to change your precious word, we are the liars. You are true. So please, dear Lord, just speak to every heart today, that every heart will be touched. Those that do not know you as their Lord and Savior, that they'll be saved today, that they'll realize they need to come to the cross of Calvary for salvation. And Father, grow us. We should be fruit-bearing, And the fruit of the Spirit, Father, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's who we should be. That's the fruit we should be producing. And all the world should be able to see the difference from the world and a Christian. So please, dear Father, just touch every heart today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at these verses of Scripture, we, you know, begin, you know how I like to kind of back up and look at different, look at the Scripture in review. And I like to go back even to this first verse and on up to this fourth verse. And what advantage, then, hath the Jews? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them was committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, thou that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. And then we come into verse 5, but if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? It just kind of continues, and we're going to really look at this and enjoy it. The advantages, the great advantages that the Jews had was that they received the Word of God. They had the Word of God, and so and they had it ahead of anybody as far as a people was concerned. And so they had the Word of God. That was the advantage that they had. And then as we look at verse 3 and verse 4 in review, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? No. If you refuse to believe the Word of God, and the Word says here, let God be true, but every man a liar. So just because you don't believe it, and maybe you don't, maybe you've listened to this program for a long time, or this is the first time you've ever heard this program, and you don't believe in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. If you don't believe in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, then you're denying the Word of God. Now, you can say, no, Larry, that's your interpretation. I'm repeating what the Word of God tells us. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised from the dead shall be saved. Now, see, we're looking at the Word of God. And that heart, that personal relationship that we need with Jesus is so important. And you must have that. You must possess that, because we do not have a religion. What we have is a personal relationship with the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. That's the difference between all the religions that are out there that have left the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. It left that personal relationship, knowing the Lord Jesus as your Savior. They've left that. See, that's what the Jews were supposed to proclaim. That's what they received up on Mount Sinai. They received the law, the Ten Commandments, but that kills. That law condemns. And so their only hope you have through the law, the only thing you have is death. That's it. But through the grace of God, which came through the tabernacle, and all the sacrifices and the feasts that they held, every one of those pointed to the person of Jesus Christ. They lost sight of that. They got so involved in with the tradition and with the bringing of the sacrifice, and it doesn't matter if it was a perfect sacrifice, they're just going to put it to death anyway. Yes, it does. because the picture of the coming Messiah, the perfect Lamb of God, that's what those sacrifices were a picture of. So you had to bring a perfect sacrifice. And then, of course, when Jesus died on the cross, it should have all come to an end. And the reason it should have all come to an end is because of the completion of the law. Jesus lived a perfect life here upon earth, fulfilled the law in every way, and then died for our sins. You see, somebody had to die. All those offerings, all those lambs, and all those sacrifices that were brought for sin was only a picture awaiting the one true God, the true Son of God, only begotten Son of God, Jesus, to die on the cross. That's what the Israelites, the Jews, were supposed to bring to all the world. The question was in verse 3, what happens if they don't believe it? Well, if they don't believe it, they go to hell. If you don't believe it, you go to hell. You just go to hell, the place of torment. That's where you're going to go if you do not trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Now, you can say, no, I'm going another way. Well, you try another way, but when you stand before the righteous God, he's going to look at the books, as Revelation tells us, and he's going to see all your works and everything that you did, and you say, okay, I'll be fine then. No, because then he opens up the book, and that book is the book of life, and you have to be written in the Lamb's book of life. If you're not written in the Lamb's book of life, you are sentenced to eternity in the lake of fire, otherwise known as hell. Now, that's your choice. If you want to risk it, you risk it. I'm not willing to take that chance. And long, long ago, I trusted in Jesus as my Savior, and I know it to be true because he lives within my heart. Now, a wonderful, wonderful walk that you have with the Lord Jesus. So does unbelief of others have effect on it? No, it does not. The only thing it ruins is you. And also then, by you refusing the Lord Jesus, probably your children or your friends or your family members, they too will reject the gospel. So what you're doing by rejecting it, then you're actually sending your family to hell because of it. I ask you that you come by faith to Jesus and then begin to share this truth with your family so that they can be saved, that they can be born again. Please, that you look to the Lord Jesus and be saved. Once again, it says, God forbid. So if you decide you're not going to believe it, who is the liar? The Scripture tells us that we are. We're the liar if we choose not to believe it. God is not. God is true. And then we come down to verse 5. Man has a way with their psychology and all this thinking that they do, all this trying to figure the things out, and all it does is make a mess of things. So they decided that then, well, if because of our sin, Jesus came down here and showed his great love to us and died on the cross of Calvary to save us. He poured out an unbelievable, beyond any man's imagination, amount of love that he possessed, that Jesus possessed, and God the Father as well, being one and yet two independent persons, as we know, and there's three because we have the person of the Holy Spirit. But as that all comes together, and as God poured out his love because we were sinners, then some man come up with the idea that, well, if we sin more, then God's grace will be greater. Well, God's grace is as great as anything can be, because it God's grace, God's love, God's salvation come to every person that died on the cross, that has sinned. And he took all those sins, and they were nailed to that cross with our Lord Jesus. Now, grace abounds. But to sin more thinking that grace will abound all the more. Grace is sufficient. So don't get that foolish thought in your head, because that's some philosophy of some lost man that's thinking about this. And that's what the Word of God says in verse 6. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Now, as we take our time here and we look through these verses of Scripture, it's worthy of our time. We know that so many prophets were in the land at that time, and those prophets were denying the virgin birth. Those prophets, many of them, false prophets, were denying the bodily resurrection. Many of them were denying the blood atonement. And we need to realize that they were warned to watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. They looked like a lamb, they looked like a shepherd, but they were not. And so we have a couple of warnings here, and we're going to read first from Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. I hope you're able to turn to this scripture verse as well. If you cannot, why, just please listen. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Very clear statement. Let's move now to to 2 Corinthians. So keep yourself in Romans here, chapter 3, and then just move towards the back of your Bible, and you're going to find 2 Corinthians, and we're going to go to the 11th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Today, we have more false preachers than we do true preachers. They have changed the word. They have added works to our salvation. They have stopped preaching the pure gospel saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. Many do not believe in the virgin birth. Many do not believe in the bodily resurrection. Many do not believe in the atoning blood, the blood that saves, and that's Jesus' precious blood. All of that is in the Word of God. And so, as the Word tells us back in Romans, God be true and man's a liar. And so I ask you to get your Bible out and get your old King James out. Don't go with these new versions, because that's man's ideas and principles, and they've changed it. They've changed it. They have destroyed the Word of God. Man is a liar when you go and change the Word. So go back to the old King James, not the new King James. The old King James. Find your old King James. You may have to go back to your grandmother's Bible to find that, or your great-grandmother's Bible. You can go to store and buy it, but they're far and few between, because, you see, people don't, they would rather have something simple to casually read. It is the Word of God. We need to study the Word of God and search the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God. We do not need to casually read it. Get some fiction out if you want to do that. Study the Word of God. Enjoy it. And as this tells us here, that we have false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. We have that today. They had it in Paul's day. That was back in the year about 60, so that was about 30 years, 25 years past, after the crucifixion of Jesus. There were those that acted like Christians. They were those that were ministers of the gospel, supposedly, but they were false. They were fake, and we sure have them today, and there are more and more of them today than ever. So please do not be deceived. The only way you'll find the truth is get your old King James out and start studying. And go through the Gospel of John. Go through this book of Romans, and you're going to find the gospel. We've presented it every time, and please that you get saved, born again, and then you can start, because then you'll have the Spirit of God living within your heart to teach you the Word of God. Wonderful. I hope that you do that today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come. And even now already is it in the world. We need to recognize that the Antichrist, not the Antichrist, but anyone that preaches another gospel is one of the Antichrists. Now, there will only be one singular Antichrist during the tribulation period, but we have many Antichrists, those that have changed the Word of God. Many believe that just in this world, that we have Jesus and a God, but there is a God and a Jesus in another planet someplace. They change the Word of God. He's the only begotten Son of God, and God the Father is Jehovah God. There is only one. There's not multiple gods. There is only one Jehovah God. There is only one Son of God, only begotten Son of God. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He is the one you need to come to and trust in. All other, whether it's baptism that you have to be baptized to be saved, that is not of the Word of God. That's a lie. If you need to work yourself to heaven, your church tells you, that is a lie, because our Lord Jesus saves us when we come by faith, and He keeps us. And so please, look to the Lord Jesus. Trust in Him each and every day. We have many verses of Scripture here. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 2. Hebrews, James, 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 6. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. The devil is one that confuses and confounds. It complicates things. It can't understand it. God is not the author of confusion, but the author of peace. He is the God of peace and joy. Every born-again believer, every child of God, let God be justified in everything he does. The ways of God are always right. God's way cannot be wrong because he is God. He is righteous. He is faithful. God cannot do wrong. So please, as this scripture tells us, and as we just read back here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious. He that believeth on him, Jesus Christ, shall not be confounded. You go into some church services and you come out there and it's a service that confuses people. No, the Word of God is simple. Come by faith to Jesus and begin that wonderful walk. We love studying the Word of God. We go verse by verse as every study, whether it's something I'm preaching from the pulpit, whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's one of the radio studies, whether it's Sunday night, Wednesday night, Tuesday afternoon, the ladies' Bible study, every place we study verse by verse, because you see, then it no longer becomes man's interpretation. It becomes God's truth, because we're taking the Word of God, looking up cross references back and forth. We have a wonderful time studying the Word of God. And the wonderful time comes because I have the Holy Spirit in my heart. And those that come here, that's this church family, they're born again. They have the Holy Spirit in their heart. So you see, we have that unity. We're one in Christ, and we have a good time studying the Word of God. Verse by verse, we feed upon the Word of God. Now back to Romans. Now we come to a word, but verse 5, but if our unrighteousness command the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then, how shall God judge the world? This word command, C-O-M-M-E-N-D, means to set together. God is holy, perfect, pure, different from man. God will not do wrong. It is impossible for God to do wrong. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Every man is wrong if it is contrary to the Word of God. You see, God's love and grace came to earth. It came to earth because of sin. The more we sin, it doesn't bring the grace of God in a greater power. God's love is full. So as we look at this verse of Scripture, and it speaks of God desiring one to sin, because that allowed him to show us more his greater love? No. He showed his love because we are worthless. We are of no value whatsoever. None. There are none righteous. No, not one, as the Scripture has told us. Understand that. These words, there is none righteous, no, not one, verse 10. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now you find me a place in there where you can say that you believe you can save yourself. You can't. You can't. Verse 7, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? The more sin, the greater the grace. Paul never has taught that lie. And those that stated it deserve damnation. And that's what the Scripture's telling us. Deserves damnation. And not rather as we be slanderously reported, and as some affirm that we say, let us do evil that good may come, whose damnation is just. Oh, please. The more sin, the greater the grace. No, God's grace is full and complete. And he has shown his love because of sin. His love was shown, he created the world for us. But then when sin entered in, the way of salvation is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him alone. we need to look to the Lord Jesus. We need to come by faith to Him. Don't try another way. These men here, that's what they're trying to figure out. They're trying to go another way, another direction. You can't. My dear friend, please, what are you going to do about Jesus?